Galatians chapter 5, please. I need three or four men to help me pass these notes out. Forgive me, I don't like to do notes Sunday morning, but there's a reason, which you'll see very quickly, why you have some notes. All right. And if there's not enough, there will be enough for every couple, I believe. Yep. Thank you, gentlemen. Galatians chapter 5. All right, anybody need notes that doesn't have notes yet? Need some more over here. All right, let's stand together, please. I do not want to make light of anything this morning, and I should have done this earlier. I didn't find out until fellowship time. One of our own, Braden, which grew up here, graduated from the Air Force boot camp. He is watching us. Is it live streaming, Tom? Well, it was. I was going to have us clap for Braden, but not if he can't see you. We'll do it later. Anyhow, Braden is supposed to be watching us, and you know how electronics work, correct? All right, now, folks, we're going to talk about two verses this morning, and you have in your notes, look at me, a ton of verses. The reason I am gave you notes primarily are for the verses. For all of you that are on our email, Wednesday night, you will have three times as many verses because I think it's important that we discuss this question. Now, for everyone's information, a young man in this room came up to me and asked me a question on a Sunday morning 2 weeks ago. That young man is Quee. And he just asked, because I had mentioned or read a verse that talked about predestination. Now, for some people, they sleep through everything. Quee asked me the obvious question, do we have a free will? I think it's kind of important that we answer the question. You say, is this heavy? No, I'll make it simple. Of course, I can give you about, you know, this many books times 10 that deal with the question. But I'm going to make it, by the way, are you ready? Biblical. I'm not going to give you my opinion like my opinion matters. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Same word as freedom. In the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us, what's that say? Free. Which probably indicates, if you're not a Christian, you're not free. You haven't been liberated yet. Is that logical? Before salvation, you might think you're free, and you are in some ways. Christ makes us free. I'll read it again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, or has liberated us. And be not entangled, what's that word? Again, with a yoke of bondage, which tells you there's also a possibility of going back to some kind of bondage. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, or freedom. In a Christian worldview, freedom comes after salvation. Only use not this liberty or freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but use your liberty for the purpose why you were liberated. But by love, serve. Hey, everybody look at me. If you're an unsaved person, you serve one person. yourself. Christ liberates you where no longer you're the center of your world. Other people matter too. So we're going to talk about liberation. And I say this honestly. Can I say this? I've had questions all week this week. I know if you're a Christian, and I know if you're serious about Christianity, because you will have questions. And if you never have questions, you're not serious about anything. Because life happens. You got to ask. You have questions. Everybody does. I like Quee's question, though I could not answer it in 30 seconds. This morning, I will introduce you broadly to the subject and give you some ideas. Father, thank you for this day. May you bless as we consider this important subject, but more and so, what exactly does Jesus do for us? Does he really set us free? Is it true that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free? Is that true? Are we already free before we're saved? Help us to hear this morning. Help us to think. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, before I go one quarter of an inch further, would you look at me, please? Pastor Warren wants to persuade you to an understanding of Scripture. Here's my recommendation for you. Take your time. You have a long time to think about this. I'm going to give you a lot of information to think about this morning. So several weeks back, the very handsome Quee asked me, do we have a free will? And the question is an important question. I have in your notes, and by the way, there's a few places you can fill in your notes. Most of it I give you for the verses. It's going to be behind me also. There are basically three views or three ways of looking at this. Now, friend, you might think this is a Bible question. Am I missing something? Braden is here. Can we do this? Can we all clap for Braden for graduating? Proud of Braden. Thank you. He has now been unfreed. He's in the military. Friend, please hear me. If you have never thought about this question in your entire life, this is not a biblical question only. Actually, where I first encountered this question, are you ready, was from evolutionists. And evolutionary biology, and a biologist said, we do not have any freedom. We are determined by our genetics. I read another person, more Freudian psychology, said, we are determined by where we come from in our family. The question is not just Christian. One of the most famous statements ever about free will is this. One of my least favorite humans that have ever drawn breath is a philosopher named Rousseau. Rousseau thought he was the brightest person on planet Earth. He made this statement. It's world famous. You can look it up on your Google. He made this statement. Man is born free, and everywhere he is in chains. Now, that was his view that what? Civilization chains us. But if you could just get back to nature and the way we originally were born, you would be free. Now, just so you know, by the way, I don't lie. I actually encourage you to check out what I'm saying. Rousseau also had a long-term affair with a woman, forgive me, whose IQ was highly diminished. He had 5 children by this woman, and when the children were born, he promptly took them and dumped them at an orphanage, which in France in those days, the children always pretty much died. So he was free. Yes, free to be an idiot. Like many people's freedom. In your notes, there are basically three views. There is on the left side the yes view. Of course we're free. Can I say this? This is the American view. Now, I don't have American in your notes. And you say, what do you mean? Do you ever hear this? You can be... Can I tell you something? I want to be handsome. It hasn't been working. I identify as a 16-year-old. That hasn't been working. America is driven by this rabid view of freedom. We can be free to do anything, be anything, talk anyway. And I just say to you, good luck. You say, Pastor, can't you be anything you want to be? You can be anything that God has given you the ability to become, and not one iota more. Can I say this? I was born colorblind. I have limitations. I'm never going to see all the colors that you see. Period. Sadly, Jesse has the same problem. Are we free? Well, in your notes on the left side, some people say yes, that is the typical American view. Theologically, that's the view of Arminians, which I don't have time to talk about, just to mention. It is also a stress on this, human freedom. We are free, 100% free. We're free to do whatever we want, be whatever we want, and we can, if we want to trust Jesus anytime, we can trust Jesus, we're free. This is also, and this is a big word, called incompatibilism, meaning it says basically this, God cannot be sovereign if people are free. It's either this or that. People are free. God is not sovereign. It's a view of incompatibilism, and this is a little bit in philosophy. On the far right, the answer is no. Now, please look at me, friend. I know for some of you, you've already checked out 3 years ago, until, of course, you start thinking about these, and Pastor talked about this, but I don't remember anything. There's also a view, much more common than you think, that we have no freedom at all. I would tell you many people believe you're determined by your genetics. You're determined, by your parentage. The ancient Roman world was 100% against anybody moving up the ranks. You say, why? Because they believed you were determined by your family. And if you come from a bad family, you are determined to be that family. That's determinism. They said there is no free will. There is no freedom. So these two extremes, though most people don't see this as extreme, is where most people are. On the right, theologically, this is part of what we would call high or hyper-Calvinism. And they would teach in theological circles only divine sovereignty. Only. God is sovereign. Man does not have freedom. So it's an either or. Some people say, we're free. God is not sovereign. Others say, God is free, he's sovereign, we don't have freedom. Those are the two opposing views. By the way, friends, this is pretty common when reading. Now, I don't mean in the middle, because this is not exactly in the middle. It's more to the right. My view, and I think the biblical view, if you ask me to, so everybody look at me. Let's not drift. Let's not play games. Do we have freedom? I'm going to answer this to you directly. Yes. But there's some limitations to our freedom. You say there's no limitation to your freedom? I'll bring Michael Jordan here and play a game of basketball and see how well you do. You say, I can be. Yes, there are limitations. So we have some kind of freedom. What exactly does that mean? That's a hard question. This comes in theological circles, biblical circles, of what's called evangelical Calvinist or Calvinism, specifically evangelical. And if you don't know what that means, all you have to remember is this. This comes out of modern missionary movement. William Carey, missionary to India. Andrew Fuller, that wrote a book on this very subject, where, yes, God is sovereign, and man has some element of freedom, so why do we preach the gospel? By the way, William Carey to India, Adoniram Judson to Burma, all of these men came out of the exact same background, and they call themselves evangelical Calvinist. What do we believe? What does the Bible teach? In your notes. Most of us don't like the term freedom because it smacks too much of I can do anything and be anything. We prefer this language, human responsibility. We are responsible for our actions. So friend, if you go out here today and you are a fool, look at me, and you are a fool, you are responsible for what you did. Are you free? We'll come to that in a minute. But you're responsible. We also hold, at the same time, divine sovereignty. We are compatibilist. We do not choose this or that because divine sovereignty is taught all through the Bible, and some element of human, I prefer, responsibility is taught throughout the Bible. We don't choose this or that. We put them together. Spurgeon said it this way. How do you reconcile divine sovereignty and human responsibility? Spurgeon said, I never reconcile best friends. They're in the Bible. Or he would say this. What, do you want me to put out one of my eyes so I can see out of the other eye? I can actually use both eyes to see out of. Both are true. Now, friends, we're not going to read all these verses. This is taught so many places in the Bible that you and I are responsible for what we do, and God is sovereign. Genesis 50. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. By the way, they were responsible for what they did, for doing evil. But God meant it unto good. So you have human responsibility, you have divine sovereignty in one text, one place. We're responsible, so there is some freedom there. God is sovereign, both together, Acts 2:23. Him, Jesus, being delivered, how so? By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God planned from eternity past that Jesus would go to the cross. There was never a question that Jesus was going to the cross. Stop. Every time I teach on this, I get the same questions from the same person. Well, blah, blah, blah. I'm not interested in your well, blah, 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 blah. It says it. Period. There was never a question Jesus was from eternity past planned to go to the cross. That's divine sovereignty. By the way, what about the people who crucified Christ? Were they responsible? Yes. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So when you walk out of here today, I want you to understand the Bible teaches both of these concepts together. So are we free? Yes. But there's some things that complicate this. We'll look at just a few more verses. Acts 4:27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of God, were gathered together. By the way, human responsibility. They a crucified Christ. But guess what? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. No question, God is sovereign, they are responsible. So when I look at human freedom, do I think Ralph Warren has total freedom? That is my question this morning. I think we will quit reading the verses for time. Please look at me. You have page and a half of them. You read them. You think about the implications. Don't get mad at me. Don't say, Pastor, stupid. I'm just reading text. God is sovereign. You're responsible. You say, I don't understand. I find no place in the Bible where I have to understand God. I have to obey him. And God makes choices. Now, we'll move on, but I'm going to tell a story. Now we get into the sermon proper, if you want to turn the page. I have only met this young lady. By the way, please, I didn't give you those notes so you can sleep through church and never read them. I gave you dozens of verses for you to do what with? And I've already said, take your time to understand. Is that fair? I'm not trying to force anything down anybody's throat. If you grew up in America, you intuitively believe we all have freedom. Yes, I'm going to disabuse you of that notion this morning. We do have some kind of freedom. So I'm going to ask a question. I'll tell a story and ask a question. I have only met this person one time. I might have met this person twice. This person is my relative, distantly. I know I met the person once for probably 1 hour. I might have met the person twice. The woman is somewhere in her late 20s, I don't know, 25 to 35. I don't know ages. She is distantly a cousin of mine, not first cousin, second or third cousin. She is reasonably attractive, reasonably intelligent, though she has no education. She is not, you know, otherwise she has reasonable intelligence, you know, reasonably normal person. I've only met her once or twice, and my first memory of her was this. She walked into the house. She's walking like that. You know what that does to me? Makes me nervous. What are you doing? And then she couldn't smoke in the house, so she went outside to smoke. Okay, if you smoke, God bless you. She went outside to smoke. She making me nervous, looking through the screen door, I seeing her outside smoking. I'm like, she comes back in, she just smoked a cigarette, then she does vaping. Walking all over the house, vaping and blowing that whatever comes out, and she's moving and vaping, and then she goes back out and smokes. Folks, in a period of 15 or 20 minutes, she must have smoked 4 or 5 cigarettes and vaped 4 or 5 times and made me so nervous I wanted to shoot myself. But I haven't told you the story. Since her teenage years, she's been addicted to drinking, drugs, and that which, listen to me, and that which you have to do to pay for the drinking and the drugs, which includes stealing, breaking and entering, stealing from her grandmother repeatedly, stealing cars. So her life is basically, even though she looks normal in the sense that she's attractive enough, smart enough, her life is basically vaping, smoking, to the place where you, man, take a breath, just sit down in the chair. She couldn't sit down for a fight. She's right back up and all this, and then she's on drugs, and then, and by the way, what happens to people who are on drugs eventually? When you're stealing, breaking, and entering, sooner or later you get, say it, you get arrested, and then you get penalized. So she has spent, and by the way, 25 to 35 years old, she spent multiple times in jail. She has been in prison. Actually, the time I saw her, she had just gotten out of prison. Did she quit? Oh, you say, Pastor, I believe we're free. She got out of jail for a while, but the problem is she couldn't get out of the drugs and the alcohol, and you have to pay for that, and there's only several ways of paying for that. So she went back to prison for a much longer stay. She has recently got out. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think she is free? Some of you aren't sure. Do you think she is free? You see, I think we're so goofy in America, we can't think past our nose because we're too busy looking at TikTok, Facebook, and all the other silly little things. We don't even, by the way, she's about as free as a person in chains. I think I have pictures of that, don't I? Can we go past a lot of verses? Down to the people. Ah, by the way, when a person's born into this world, in your notes, BC, what's BC mean? Before Christ, you have freedom. Kind of. Kind of like a person on a ball in a chain. Go ahead and look at the next one. Do they have freedom? Listen. In the sense that they can speak, yes. They can talk, they can move somewhat. They can eat, they can drink. But they're what? They're chained. Go ahead. Does he have freedom? See, I think our problem is we talk about stuff and we're not really thinking. I want to go back to my second cousin. Does she have freedom? Well, she's probably going to be back in prison again real soon for stealing, probably from her grandmother again, and breaking and entering. By the way, is that freedom? Well, it actually is. It's actually what Christians believe. Yes, every unsaved person has freedom to sin and to be stupid. In your notes, number one, here is the first condition of all people, free but fettered. You see, I have no idea what fetters are. It's old English, but I like it, and it rhymes. Fetters are simply, you're chained, you're manacled, you're restrained in restraints of some kind. And by extension, when people before Christ, B.C., those people by extension are limited in that freedom. So everybody look at me. I'm going to speak to Kui. Kui, are we free? Do we have a free will? Yes, but before Christ, outside of Christ, before you're saved, you are limited in some pretty big ways. This is just what it means to be a Christian. Read the verses with me, please. Stand fast in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. By the way, friend, one's the noun for freedom or liberty. The next one's the verb. They're there, right there together, which implies this. Before Christ, yes, you have some kind of freedom. We don't think, by the way, I don't think anybody thinks you're a machine. You do this. No, you have some kinds of freedom, but you are limited. You are fettered. What exactly are we chained by? What are we fettered by? So we are free, but fettered. B.C., before Christ. Everybody look at me. You say, this is a joke. How many people have I met that can't get out of their addictions? How can I still look at a buddy of mine named Tom that I grew up with, that I have physically picked him up while drunk, beyond a consciousness? Have you ever picked a 150, 160-pound person up that's drunk, that's unconscious? It's not like picking barbells up. It's a person all over. I can remember picking him up, slinging him over my shoulder, carrying him into his parents' house down in the big town of Nutwood on Otter Creek. Is he free? Well, he's certainly free to get drunk. He is certainly free to do wrong. Is he free? I wish, by the way, there are people that show up at this church that are also bound. I'd like to liberate them, but here's the problem. Before Christ liberates you, you're free in some sense, just like the prisoners are. You can walk around, you can get something to eat, you can talk, but you're not totally free. Well, we're going to look at this and actually think about it. I say in your notes, what does this mean? Well, we are not machines. We have a will. By the way, every single person on earth makes choices. Actually, we make countless choices every day, obviously. However, we are fettered, BC. We are in chains. And one of them is this. We are finite. Look at me, please. Do you know what it means to be finite? Stop. Look at me. All of you that are drifting, look. Stop this. I am going to stop aging from this day forward. I sent some people a joke this week. It's a funny joke. They say, 60 is the new 40. Mike Rock, wherever you're at, it's 90 is the new 40. But anyhow, 60 is the new 40, but the person said, yes, that's true. And 9 p.m. is the new midnight, too. I'm free. Friends, you are not free. You are finite. Every one of you and me, we're human. You say, I'm free. Good luck on that one. Now, do we have, you have, we have a photo of me up there. Hold it, hold it, hold it. There's going to be a photo of me up there in a minute. This is the modern Superman. He's free. Superman. We're almost living. You go to churches today and the stupidity has nothing to do with Christianity. It's like, no, you can do anything God wants you to do and that God has given you the ability to do. You do not have the ability to be Einstein. Some of your math is still 1 plus 1 and you're struggling. I mean, trust me, you don't have that ability. You are fettered. By the way, oh, now if you're from the 80s, that's your Superman. Mike Rock? That's me. Some of you are like, who's that? That's the real Superman. From the 50s. You notice he kind of looks like a middle-aged, semi-pudgy guy. I identify with him. Friends, please hear me. I put that up there for humor, but it's not funny. We talk about things, I don't even know if we know what we're talking about. You are finite. One of the chains that binds you and me is you cannot be something else simply by declaring it so. So when I leave here today, I'm going to identify as an 18-year-old young man. Till the moment I sit down under a table and an hour later get up and it's like, would somebody oil up my knees? These knees aren't functioning anymore. By the way, we are finite. So in your notes. By the way, does everybody agree with this? All right. I mean, I kind of think it's obvious. I say this. We are created beings and we are not God. We will always be created beings or human and not God. And I don't like this. My spell check changed it. I don't prefer this. We are never as free as God is free. Actually, it's coming later. It'll come in the next point. Do we understand we're never as free as God is free? None of us. God is God. We're humans. Look at me. You say, Pastor, I'm Superman. In the movies, Superman doesn't have to eat. In the real world, Superman, meaning you, has to eat. Has to sleep. Yes? I don't know where. Free. Number two. By the way, this is just Christianity. Number two. We are fallen. F-A-L-L-E-N. If you don't know what fallen means, you haven't been around biblical Christianity. We're sinful. We're born that way. From the get-go. We're fallen. That's the second thing that limits us. Psalm 51, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I mean, it starts right at birth. Please look at me. I have 5 grandsons. They are all perfect. You say, why? Because they're my grandsons. Evan is the most perfect. Where's my good daughter, right, sister? Go, just lie one time for me, would you please? I love Evan. It's so funny. When I go into the nursery to see the kids, we've got good kids in there. Anna's perfect. But I was in there the other day, and here's Anna. You know, she's so sweet. She didn't get what she wanted. She was sitting in a chair. She was stomping those feet like this. She was going like this. And it's like, who taught her to do that? Ezra. Yeah, that's correct. By the way, nobody needed to teach her. Do you know why? Every child is born a sinner. Yes or no? Every one of us. Look at the next text, please. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned. By the way, in one sense, that means we all sinned in Adam. Not only did we sin in Adam, just so you say, I don't like that kind of stuff. Okay, but you continue to sin too. And we come short, meaning we continually come short of the glory of God. So we not only do, you know, we're in Adam, and you say, but I don't like Adam to represent me. Well, this is my opinion. If you don't like Adam to represent you, quit sinning. So not only did he make a choice, you make choices everybody sins. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And what? So death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. What? In that one man, in Adam. We all sin. Romans 8. This is a little tougher, friend. By the way, go back up to the big point number one. Before Christ, we are free. Yes, in many ways, we are free. We don't walk out of here thinking Pastor Warren believes that people can't make choices, can't eat what they want to eat, get up. We make many choices. But look at me. If you're not a Christian, you are very limited. Well, by the way, you're limited totally by your creature. You're finite. You're also fallen. So you're going to make choices. Look at me. I know the kind of choices you're going to make. You're going to make the choices to keep on sinning and sinning and sinning some more because guess what? You are limited by your fallen human nature. Can I ask you a question? If you have a dog, I know they're so warm and fuzzy. Do dogs have a nature? If a dog sees a mouse, what does it do? Let us pray for the mouse. Dogs do, look at me, dogs do what dogs do. Here you are petting the dog, having a good time, a little mouse comes there, and that dog is, and you say, well, dogs do what, can I say this, sinful people do what sinful people do. You are fettered, you are chained by your fallen human nature. Romans says as much, friend, but they that are after the flesh, meaning they're just unsaved, do mind the things of the flesh. They think about themselves, of course. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Why? For to be carnally, meaning all you have is your unsaved human fallen nature, minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, now you're indwelt by the Spirit, is life and peace. Verse 7. Why? Well, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed, hear it, what? Can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Of course not. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, meaning a person that's unsaved, before Christ, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be indwelt by the Spirit. I want to say this and move forward. People are free. We are very free. Look at me. If you're not saved this morning, you are, yes, you have freedom. You have freedom to follow your heart into every stupid thing that's ever happened on earth. And can I say this? Not only do you have freedom, in another sense, you have no freedom. Because all you can follow is what you want. By the way, you do what you want. Look at me. But then there's a problem. Some pastor like me, some weirdo like Pastor Warren says, friends, you need to pray and read your Bible. And your first response is, well, that's exactly what the text said. You can't welcome that. You can't accept that. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Because you're BC. By the way, stand fast therefore in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ has made you free. You stand in the relationship to, yes, you have freedom of some kind, but you are controlled by your finiteness, you're human, and your fallenness, you're sinful. There's a third concept, and this one's... We are also under, number three, what I'm going to call divine fiat. I don't mean the car. I'm using a Latin word in your notes that means let it be done. It is a Latin word for a decree or an edict. Simply stated, friends, God also makes choices. Fact is, God makes many choices, and God does not consult you about those choices. Yes, God is free, I prefer to say it this way, more free than we are. So does God makes choices. Friend, the next verse in your notes, I'm most going to read the first line. Please look at me. This verse is the verse that set me free. Because I grew up in an Arminian background, which teaches we have this human freedom, radical freedom. But then one day I was memorizing or reading this, and I memorized this verse, and this is the verse that Augustine got saved under about 1,600 years ago, and it's the first question, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Everybody look at me. Look around. Some of you are Filipinos. How many of you got in line and said, I want to be born in the Philippines? Some of you are good looking. Some of you are like me, good not to look at. Some of you are tall. Some of you are very tall. Where's Mutia at? Some of us are smart. Some of us are smart Alex. Some of us are not so smart. Look at me. Who makes you different from someone else? The moment you recognize that God makes choices that you have nothing to do with. Some of us can speak in public, some of us cannot. Some of us can sing, and some of us should sing quietly with the church. By the way, God makes us different. Why do you never look down on somebody else? God makes us different in fundamental ways. You say, they're not as tall as me. I didn't get in line to be 6'2". Actually, the doctor said I was going to grow. I was 6'2", Kui, in seventh grade. And I am 6'2" today. I never grew 1/4 inch between seventh and eighth grade. That was it. My brother went into high school at 5 feet tall in the 10th grade. He was 5 feet tall. He grew 8 inches in high school. He is 5'8". I went into high school at 6'2", and I'm thinking, I'm going to grow 8 more inches. God makes choices. So, friend, are you free, Kui? Yes, but before Christ, you were fettered. Until Christ liberates you, until Christ sets you free, you are limited. We better move on to point number two. Point number two is AC. Do I need to tell you that's, da-da? That is not air conditioning. Oh, that's Spanish. Spanish in Mexico, they always say AC. In the Philippines, it's aircon. Forgive me, aircon. After Christ. You say, Pastor, what changes? Look at me. After Christ, Christ does something that liberates us, sets us free to a great extent. So I call this free and much less fettered. We are saved, but I hope you understand you're still finite. Yes or no? Do any of you think you're Superman? You say, man, I got saved. Woo! I can do all, you know, all things. You can do all things that Christ wants you to do. I am sorry if you're thinking about joining the NBA. Please look at me. There are no 60, am I 66? You know, you can't even switch the numbers. 66 is both ways. There are no 66 overweight, balding, white guys with gray hair in the NBA. I don't care if you're saved or not. You're still finite. Yes or no? So friends, even as a Christian, we're still finite. So yes, we're much, much freer. And, can I say this in your notes, we're still fallen. We're still sinful. I mean, I know that I have not sinned in the last 50 years. But I have met people that have. Ladies, can you give testimony to your husband's sins? Look at the next page, please. Or it's probably behind me. Read these beautiful texts. By the way, we go through these various conditions. There's more to say about this. This morning, I just want to say these things. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, or the freedom, same word, wherewith Christ hath made us free. So, friend, something happens at salvation that in some ways makes us much freer than the person that is enslaved either to addictions are the greatest addiction of them all. They're addicted to themselves. There's one person they love on earth, them. And they love to love themselves. Christ sets you free from that. Look at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called. That's the effectual call that the Holy Spirit effectually calls. That's not the general call to all people. It's that which happens to the elect when God calls you from death into life. You have been called unto liberty. There is a danger of using your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but that's not what you've been called to. You have been liberated to serve one another by love. John 8, this is Jesus speaking. And you shall know the what? Truth. And the truth shall make you free. John 8, 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm going to say these three statements, friend. We are liberated or freed. How? Stop. Do I believe all people on earth have this position? No. You are liberated by Christ. You're still human, yes? And you're still sinful or have propensities to sin, so you can still be stupid. So can I, by the way. Now, I'm not picking on you. So can all of us. But Christ sets us free. It is Christ that gives us much more freedom, and I will say in eternity, not total freedom, because we'll still be human, but we'll no longer have sin in eternity. But friends, between now and then, Christ sets us free. You don't have to be a slave to yourself, being in love with yourself, only thinking about yourself, which all that does then is marches out in, I drink, I smoke, I do drugs, I gamble, I do all of those things. You're still chained to yourself. Christ sets us free. The truth sets us free. And by the way, you will be free indeed. We're freed by Christ. I say in your notes, there's three different pieces to this. We're freed by Christ. We're free to do some things or liberated to do some things. I'll come back to. And we're also liberated from some things. And you say, what are those things? Look at me. If you go to some kind of churches, I'll leave the language alone. You got, bless God, I don't smoke and drink anymore. Smoking and drinking is never your problem. Look me in the eyes. You are your problem. The biggest problem I have is the person looking at you. Christ sets you free from the self-centeredness of life. And by the way, he progressively does that after salvation, where you gradually start realizing, you know, there might be people on earth other than myself that are important too. There might be things to do. There might be people to invest in. I don't like Duncan. Anybody knows that knows me. He goes visits all the people I want to visit. Yes. But by the way, why? Because he wants to invest. He and his wife want to invest in people that have been through here. People like Josue, Pastor Franco's son. Beautiful seeing you guys with him. By the way, made his whole day. He texted me like three times saying, steak. You must have bought him steak. By the way, most people, their whole life, look at me, is themselves. They're still in bondage. Christ sets us free. That's the buy. He sets us free to love other people. So in your notes, there's three pieces to this freedom. It is liberated or freed by Christ. We're liberated from self and sin and self-centeredness and attempting to save ourselves by being a good person. In the middle, friends, this is a beautiful thing. We are freed or liberated to believe the gospel. By the way, you can't just believe. Christ opens your eyes. The Holy Spirit draws you. You are then able to believe. You're able to follow Christ. You're able to do right. You're able to do good. You're able to love other people. You're able to love someone other than yourself. You're able to serve God in your particular calling. I have to be careful about telling the same stories. When you're a preacher and a pastor and old, you like to tell the same stories. I'm going to tell the story anyhow. So this young group over here are very handsome guys. You're more or less, except Tim, all of you are the age I was, more or less. I was between 18 and 19 years old. I'll wait till everybody's listening. I was a believer. Not only was I a believer, gentlemen, are you listening? I was living as a believer. There's a big difference. I didn't play any games. because I knew in the Navy it was either do that or destroy. Self. By the way, in the military, I found single guys, you either live for Christ or you self-destructed, even if you were saved. There was no in-between. You don't play games in the military because most of your buddies are getting drunk every night. I was living for Christ. I was at Naval Hospital Bethesda or George Washington University. They put us in a room, and for part of my couple years there, I was in a room with two guys. There were three of us in the room. The room was not huge. Probably about this wide. Yeah, it was probably like about this size right here. There was a bed here. There was a bed there. There was a bed over here. There was a long desk that went way down to the end, and we would have a table in the room. That's how big the room was. Three guys. Ralph Warren. I stayed in the first bed. The next bed was Vic Borden. And the bed over here was Jerry Forgey. Three guys. Two of them were unsaved. Look at me in the eyes. You know what Christ does for you? These guys were pagans. You know what a pagan is? Unsaved people. Before Christ. Say, what did they want to do? Forgive me, military guys. Joseph, forgive me. Joseph's in the real Navy. I was in the Carter Navy. Some of you are like, who? It was the President Carter. In the Carter Navy, no drug testing. Guys smoked marijuana in every barracks room that I was ever in because there was no testing. So these guys' primary goal in life was to get drunk, smoke pot, gamble, and look at pornography. Look at me, please. And I'm in a room how big? How do you get away from it? You say you just walk out. What if they're doing... By the way, on three-day weekends, they would bring six or eight guys in that little room, and they would stay up for 3 days smoking pot, drinking beer, looking at porn, and gambling in a little bitty room. Where do I sleep? What do I do? Say, what did you do? Well, I witnessed to those guys. And they all said, sure, I want to believe. See, here's your problem. You think you somehow save yourself. No, you're in bondage to your own sin until Christ does something for you. We're saved by grace. This is not a joke. If I called him right now, he pastors in Kansas City, Missouri. You can look it up. Red Bridge Baptist Church. His name is Vic Borden. On May 2nd or 3rd week, Vic Borden, 2 a.m. in the morning, got saved. I can only tell you this. Look at me. One day, he was my worst enemy. He hated me. He cussed at me. I still remember the day we were in this room. Remember, bed, long bed. I was in school. So one morning, I got up on a Saturday morning. I was on the desk, sitting at the desk. Those guys went someplace. I was sitting. My bad English. Sitting at the desk. I was reading my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and then I was going to study for class. And Vic walked in. I'm going to use 70s language. Forgive me. He lit up a joint. He did inhale. Some of you don't know that joke. Man, I age myself, Bill Clinton. He lit up a joint and he did this. He walked over and blew it in my face. He said, Ralph, would you like a hit off my joint? Look in your notes. We don't have time to read all the verses. Whoever's up here, go down to Philippians 1, verse 5, please. Philippians, everybody find Philippians 1, verse 5? Here, there, or yon? The Apostle Paul says this, for your fellowship in the what? From the first day until now. Folks, I was 19 years old. I was no theologian. I had memorized, I was memorizing the book of Philippians, and I came across this verse memorizing, and it was like, oh my goodness, please look at me. You say, how did Christ set Vic Borden free? In one night, Christ set Vic Borden free from drinking, smoking pot, gambling, pornography. Stop! But that's not the big thing. The things he used to love, he now hated. And the things he used to hate, he now loved. The great change is not drinking and smoking. Though those are horrible things that take you to bad places. He changed. in Galatians 5:13, we start loving different things. He went from a dope smoking, beer drinking, and according to him, his big problem was gambling, to not. But friends, look at me. He got saved in the next Sunday morning. He would never go to church with me. The next Sunday morning he came to church. Within a few weeks, eight of those guys around the barracks there all got baptized in our little church. Where are they all at? I don't know, but I know where Vic Borden is. I'll say again, so one or two of you that have character will look it up. Red Bridge Baptist Church. Vic Borden. He's been pastoring there near 40 years. Now, he's been through some wars, by the way, because God doesn't liberate you from your humanness. His first wife, at age 55, developed frontal temporal lobe dementia, which kills you in about 5 years, and she died within 5 years as a small person. Didn't know Vic the last 3 or 4 years. By the way, you're not Superman. There's no freedom where you become God. But he's free from the stupidity. And guess what? He's free to love God, love people, love investing in people, love serving God, love. By the way, if you want to know when somebody's saved, see Mr. Losey used to sit right here, or right over here, Mr. Smith used to sit. Mr. Smith was an old codger from, you know, these guys are the 20s guys. Mr. Smith was probably born in 22 or 23, 100 years ago. I can still remember, he couldn't hear anything. And I don't know how bad his singing was, but I'm guessing bad. We'd open that hymn book, but he was a believer. And guess what Christians do? We sing. You say, why? How can you not? There's a BC and there's an AC. After Christ. And friends, that's a lot more freedom. We're not free like God is free. And we still in this lifetime struggle with sin. There's a last concept. I'm going to call it RC. Rejecting Christ. Look at me. Are you listening? I'm going to say the only hard thing I'm going to say this morning. If you're in this room and you're listening and you don't come to Christ at some point sooner or later, look at me. You will be in a worse condition than you ever were before you came here. How do I know this? Because your bondage will be tenfold. You see, there comes a time when Christ comes and all, you know, and yes, I believe in election. Yes, I do. I believe in predestined. Yes, yes, I do. And no, I'm not going to explain it this morning. But I can tell you this. We offer Christ to everybody. We plead with everybody. That's what it means to be an evangelical Calvinist. I'm going to preach. I'm going to pray. I'm going to weep for you. But there comes a time when you say no and go back. You are in a worse condition than you were ever in before. Stand fast, he tells the Galatian believers. But the problem is, Galatia also had some unbelievers in the mix that were trying to go it their own way and do their own thing. So Paul says, listen, believers, stand fast in that liberty, how Christ has liberated you, wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled, I hate that word, again, with a yoke of bondage. You see, the Judaizers rejected Christ, rejected the gospel, decided to try to save themselves, do it their own way, and the very attempt to do so took them back to a worse place, a much, much, much worse place. 2 Peter 2:22 in your notes. But it has happened unto them, not believers, by the way, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Friend, can you look at me? Do you have dogs? I grew up on a farm with dogs. Dogs vomit? Look at me. Have you ever thrown up and wanted to eat your vomit? Do dogs do that? Dogs do what dogs do. These are people that were introduced to Christianity and they said, no, we'll do it our own way. There's three categories today. Before Christ, there's hope for you. After Christ, God can just radically change you and give you everything that you can imagine.
But then there's the people that go back. They're like the dog, I'm sorry, that eats its own vomit. I've seen it hundreds of times. Well, that's not the worst image. By the way, and the Bible never calls a Christian a dog, ever. Look what else it says. He goes on to say, and the sow that was washed. You see, you come to church, you get cleaned up, you start acting like a Christian, but you know what the nature of a pig is? To get back down in the slop, in the mud. Yes, Matthew 12. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. This is the kind of person that followed Jesus for 5 minutes but didn't get it. Then that unclean spirit says, you know what, I'm going to return into my own house. It's still his house. Nothing has changed internally. The person's got some religion, cleaned up a little bit. So it's by the image, that vile spirit goes back to the house and from whence I came. And he says, when he has come, he findeth it empty. See, nothing is transpired. The Holy Spirit's not indwelling you. Nothing has happened. He finds the house empty. Oh, by the way, it's swept. This is old English. It's well decorated. Verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than... Look at me, everybody. I'm done this morning. Please. Are you free? Yes. But not free like Americans think they're free. And can I say this, friend? You want to be free? Christ gives you liberty. All of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you love things that you didn't love before. You love people that you didn't love before. You love singing. You love doing right. You're no longer consumed by the sins of your before Christ. Hold it. But if you play around, and I'm going to say this, the tendency is always to go back. But you don't go back a little bit. It's worse than before. So are you free? My answer is, you are free in Christ. And thank God for it. Father, thank you for your word this morning. As we looked at an introduction of this difficult subject, but if Christ has to set us free, I think by logical deduction, that means we're not born free. And we are not free before Christ. And for those that reject Christ, and Lord, may it never happen in this room, they will be in such worse condition because they have rejected the very hope they have of being set free. And as I remember, one person said, he's not here today because he's with his best friend, Bud Weiser, addicted to drunkenness, pornography, gambling, stupidity, drugs, or worst of all, just in love with themselves. Father, thank you for sending your Son, who said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free indeed. Free in Christ, free because of Christ, free to love you, to do right, to love what you provide for us, to enjoy everything you have given us. I think that's freedom indeed. Seal these truths to our heart on this Lord's Day, in Jesus' name.